welcome to Aiken City Council work session on February 28, 2005. We have one item to discuss, and that is the discussion of 224 Park Avenue Southwest building, just right close to us next to the Bowery. So without further ado, Mr. LeDuc, you want to lead us into that?
Yes, sir. Dr. Devor Sklizovich, who is the owner of the property, is on call this evening with his medical practice, and so he hopes to be here, but he was not certain based on the fact that he was on call duty. But I did have a chance to talk to him last October. He came before City Council, told us of what he had hoped to do, had asked if council would give some comments back to him. A couple of comments that you had concern, number one, the fact that you did not feel that you could commit to the temporary parking spaces as he had wanted. He wanted, I believe, 10 parking spaces for 15 to 30 minute time period at that location so that he could put in a grocery store. He has since that time come back and thought about it. There's Dr. Sklizovich. And he has talked further about that and feels that most of these parking spaces could be a much longer time frame in front of that building. I have met with his builder on, I think it's three different occasions, talked to a number of people concerning that building as to what could or could not be done. I feel that the cost differential between trying to save the wall and not save it, there is definitely a cost involved there after discussing this with their contractor. How much differential that is, that's obviously could be debated, and we had some long discussions on this. We talked to Dr. Sklizovich about the possibility of saving that building versus trying to save some windows and doors versus a near duplication or replication of that building. He, for several reasons, has decided to go ahead and tear down that building and to go ahead and to replicate it to as close as possible to what it is right now. They are also going to try to save some of the windows and reuse those. But the design that he has shown us shows a building that would be very similar. Since he met with us last October, I thought it would be good one more time to just make council aware as to what's happening. And there are a couple of things that are going to have to be decided as to how during the construction period it will take place. Two things, if you go down to where Senator Ryberg is building his building at Park and Hain, you'll see on the Hain side an area where it was parking. Obviously, very few people have parked at that location, but that's a laydown area that has a lot of the building material for the construction of that building. And then in front of it, he has some temporary laydown material that he is using. As we continue to see building of this type in the downtown area, typically the city has provided some means for laydown and for working with the developer or the contractor during that construction. Each one is unique in its own fashion. I know that when we get to where the theater was on Lawrence Street, they have some additional room behind that building that they could use, that parking area. And so we probably will not need as much room in the front. But in this pure case, we have three basic concerns. You know, where should the laydown of the material go? Is there an area that some temporary laydown location could be at where they could get material using a forklift that would be within a block? And then thirdly, how do pedestrians and others get around that construction site safely? So I wanted to bring those up to you tonight, make you aware of what we're doing. Staff would have to go ahead and work with the contractors to answer some of those questions, but you may want to talk to Dr. Sklizovich as far as some of your thoughts on the parking and he may want to answer any of the questions that you may have concerning that building as they get ready to move forward.
Thank you, sir. Doctor, would you like to say anything to us, address us? You're free. You certainly are free to do that if you'd like to.
Dr. Sleesman, I was just laying out pretty much what we discussed last week,
right,
and what you have planned to do.
Right. Just want to say briefly then, we really went into detail trying to do something with that building from when we started almost 2 years ago, very carefully guarding that building, trying to preserve the entire building. That's not possible. The front wall was the only issue. That issue became very technically demanding, plus expensive. And also, just talking, myself talking to the contractor, and then Mr. LeDuc talking to the contractor, then me talking to Mr. LeDuc, it looks like it's very different what the contractor has to say and talk to Mr. LeDuc and what they talk to me, you know. And there is a whole new dimension of issues coming when they talk to me. I believe that's all related to the cost, because we already negotiated the cost of all the project. So when they talk to Mr. LeDuc, they don't mention the architectural work, you know, that will be in addition to that. They don't mention much of the engineering work. In short, you know, the expense and then what I could recuperate from them wasn't really feasible for me to go that route. So we decided to go on and make as close that wall to what it was looking before building a new wall.
Can we just ask a question about the parking?
You said you decided to do what? What was the last statement you made?
Replicate the wall.
Yeah, to duplicate it. To tear down the existing wall and build it back as close as possible to what it is.
That's correct.
And saving the windows, if you can save the windows.
That was an issue me and Mr. LeDuc told that, the windows and the doors would be nice to save, but that becomes a commercial building. Me and Mr. Mike Mullen from Kokil look at that. If you would open that door 300 times on Saturday, after a few months there wouldn't be a real door there, you know. You would have to go and replace it. So the door is an issue of heating, air conditioning becomes issue for the windows, you know. But yes, something that would resemble what it is there now. If we can say, we'll try to, during demolition, to take those windows and doors and see what we can do with them.
Right. Pat, did you have
just a question about the parking spaces. What numbers are we talking about now?
I'd like to have some limit on the space on the parking that's at least in front of the building. I mean, in front of the building on both sides of the Park Avenue, that's not on the other side, but there is some parking that is near the green area and something that's in front of the building. The main reason, because there are going to be people come there and park at 8 in the morning and come to pick up the car at 5. So really when I discussed that with Mr. LeDuc, I initially asked for 30 minutes, but there's really no point of being 30 minutes. The important part is that nobody parked there for the whole day.
But what are the numbers?
What I understand from Dr. Sleesovich is that instead of having temporary parking of 15 minutes, 30 minutes, to keep it more like for a couple hours, that way at the other meeting, Sam Erb from the Bowery, and Missy from the packet shop, the Palmetto packet shop, we're looking to have longer time periods. And so a couple hours should be at least be enough time that a person go to lunch and get back and have plenty of time to do that.
Yeah, that would.
And that'd just be on several spots right there in front.
That would limit people that come there and park from early morning to the late in the afternoon.
I think there's a whole lot of a couple hours in 15 to 20 minutes. I mean, because of other businesses, especially the restaurant, obviously would not want to have it 15 or 20 minutes because it's pretty difficult to get in and out. But we just need to know how many exactly the numbers are and what staff recommends as far as whether it be a two-hour park and how many of those cases there are.
Well, that's something we could look into a little bit more closely, and that would be up till probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. After that time, then right. You could stay there longer. So if somebody wanted to have a longer dinner time, spend some time, or if they're going to the theater or to the Center for the Arts, this would be mainly during the daytime hours.
Right. Is there a solution for this lay-down area? The only way I know to do it is just going to some of the parking spaces now, unless there's just so many places you can do it. Is there a solution for the lay-down area?
Other than taking up some of the parking that's right in front, or taking the sidewalk and then diverting the pedestrians around that area. Because, again, people are going to have to walk through that area. So either you use a sidewalk area for the temporary lay-down, and then you kind of maneuver them around that area. It's pretty much what we've done in some other spots.
Could we talk?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Could we talk to the merchants around there and see what they would prefer? Because if the sidewalk's blocked, it would be hard to get to the liquor store. If you were coming from the east, you could hardly get there if the sidewalk were blocked, and then there were traffic, immediately outside of it. And so
I don't think we could. I don't think we could block the sidewalk. We couldn't block it totally. Well, we'd have to have some path. If we block the sidewalk, then we have to take some parking spots.
Saw them usually do, they usually cover the sidewalk and put the material next to it, So the sidewalk is covered kind of like a walkway. That's what usually they do.
You have to provide some means for pedestrians.
But as you know, when you were doing the building in the interior, there were parking problems on Park Avenue when people had to unload things, and I heard about them anyway. And
yeah, there were people complaining about me parking in front of my building, which I think it's very reasonable.
But the parking space doesn't belong to you. The building does, but the parking space on the public street does not, and that's what they were complaining
about. There was no limit of the parking. That's the same problem I'm talking about. There was no limit on the parking.
Well, the way it would have to
work. Oh, so you just stayed there all the time?
Well, we didn't stay all the time. Uh-huh. We just did as much as we could. We really moved the vehicles as fast as we could. If I ask, then it's one way. If someone else asks, then it's the other way. I think one stick should measure everybody the same way,
I do too. Yeah.
I think you're going to do something here that's going to be quite an asset to our community, no doubt about it. I would have no problem at all for, on a temporary basis, using part of the park itself. Even though some of the grass and what have you might be damaged, we can always fix that. We've got to have some place to allow for lay down.
Right.
Now the problem there becomes moving it across the road and stopping traffic when you're working and moving across the road. Maybe somehow it could be scheduled to do some of that at night, to have your materials over on the side of the road where you need them for work in the daytime. But to me, that's a possibility too. Maybe for those things that are bigger items, that you just can't put on the parking on the sidewalk area.
If I may, having lived in Washington D.C., we're tearing down buildings and building buildings all the time. The sidewalk gets covered with a very heavy roof. And the sidewalk stays open. The parking space is just outside of the sidewalk for your lay down area. And I think it works much better. It's also a safety factor, I think, very much as far as in the tearing down demolition period. They have that kind of a sidewalk.
To me, that's the first choice. And then if you absolutely have to have some other area on a temporary basis or some real temporary basis, then we've got to allow for some space to lay down materials.
One of the reasons that we choose a Kalki construction was just looking at the other projects, knowing that this project will need the speed and expertise of a bigger company. That's why we choose them, because we watched them very carefully when they were working at a carpet shop on the Whiskey Road. They, among the other things, they were very clean. I don't know if I'll get the same crew, but their work area was very clean and was very safe, even though they had much more room there. They were working very fast, and it's a bigger company that definitely have resources to do work faster than doing it any other way. But there will be a problem, and I know that I will probably owe you something for the grass or the parking on the pavement, you know, because they will have the equipment. But I feel confident that that company is capable of doing the work safely and fast compared to any other smaller company that I could maybe choose locally just because I know the people. I think that the reason why we chose them because it appears they will be able to shorten that work time, you know, and also do it much safely.
Mm-hmm. Doc, how long have you been in Aiken?
7 years.
Okay. I'm trying to get excited about this project. I know that having this kind of market would be good for the downtown area, but I'm trying to get excited, and I can't get excited right now about the location, knowing that this was one of the locations where the founders of this county resided. This is where his business was. And to have to hear that we can't salvage anything with this building. And I know you said maybe, just maybe, we may be able to do a window, but I'm not hopeful of that based on what you're saying. And I recognize the cost you're saying in terms of what it would cost you to preserve any portion of this building, but I can't get excited about this right now because having lived here as long as I have and knowing again what we're trying to preserve in this town, here is a building that we can't preserve any parts of it. It doesn't give me a good feeling at all.
Yeah, I understand, and I like especially the front of the building myself very much. And me and my son put a tremendous amount of hours in that building. We know every single detail. We personally, with some workers, gutted that building. Everything that was possible, we took piece by piece what was not good, trying to see when are we going to come to something good. This building, in short, to describe it, as every building has four walls. The front wall belongs to the building. The left wall doesn't even belong to this building. It's a wall that belonged to the building that was next to it. There is no left wall on that building. The back wall is built from the frame. That is completely rotten. I mean, dangerously rotten. We had to support. If you go inside, I can give you a tour. There we had to support the second floor. The right wall that's next to the bar, we really couldn't figure out if that's a common wall. It appears to be a common wall. There's a weight-bearing wall in the middle of that building that whoever was a contractor built it off the footer. It's off the footer. It's not on the footer. The whole central part, we had to build the support to hold the weight of that building. So really, except for the front wall, which you always can save something, the rest is not at all possible.
Okay. We weren't asking for, we recognized that the entire building, it was a problem, but All that was being asked was either some portions or something with the front wall, and we were told that nothing could be salvaged.
It's, as I said, you know, the front wall could be salvaged, but it's a technical problem, and it's financially a very significant problem. It's not a small, and it will increase the time of the construction because everything will have to go around that wall, which is about almost 40-foot wall that would be for some time almost unsupported wall.
On the windows, you said you would try as a contractor.
We'll take them out and see what we can do with that when it's out. You know, at least if we can get the builder to build the windows like that or save those windows, you know, just with a different glass.
He's not going to work. Dr. Slezovich, but if you were to replicate that facade with all those arches and those complicated patterns in that brick that make it the charming facade that it is, I bet you'd spend the same amount of money that you're going to spend, that you would spend salvaging that. And obviously we see facades salvaged all over the place. I'm just sad about it. I'm like Leslie. I would like to feel really great about this project. And I think that if you could, I still have to say it, I think if you could figure out a way to salvage that facade, that you would end up with a building that you like the looks of a lot better than what you're going to end up with, because the brick is that wonderful old brick, the arches are well done and attractive, and it's aside from the post office and the Farmers and Merchants Bank, it's one of the most distinctive storefronts in Aiken and one of the oldest. And I know it's a lot of trouble, I don't doubt that, I don't doubt that at all, but I just think that what you'll end up with will be something that you will be thrilled with as well. I really do.
I don't doubt that, but you probably half of my nights in the last year I spent just thinking how to do that. You know, it is something that when I saw it, I thought this would be great and not at all difficult to do. It didn't turn like that.
Have you talked with a preservation architect?
Which architect?
An architect that's skilled in the preservation of buildings?
Yeah. I talked to a few people, not one architect, you know. Everything can be saved. One brick can be saved, you know. The problem is, technically and financially, it's just not feasible. It's just, I don't think that, I don't want to be intrude what you feel, but I don't think that you like that wall as much as I like it. I bought that building because of that wall and how the building looks up front. That was my intention. I like the building, that's why I bought that, you know. But the headaches that I went through it, just trying to figure out how we'll do it, it's not that simple. You have to match the building. The wall, though it looks nice, you would have to also, all those bricks are not really that firm in that mortar as it looks like, you know. That will all need to be redone. That wall, you can't just leave that wall. And that wall will have to be at one point braced before they even can do anything with it, you know. They would have to walk with the tractors and equipment around it. It's a lot of issues that come there. A lot more issues that I think I discussed with the contractor and the architect and engineers that I think even Mr. LeDuc heard from them, you know, because every time it comes something new that they are concerned about it. Well, it will definitely prolong the construction, but this is least of the problem, of course.
The tourist interest that would bring, knowing that this was a wall of the history surrounding that would be significant with people visiting the your business. But again, I'm seeing it from a selfish vantage point because of the historic value.
I would very much like to see that wall, you know. That I would like to see all that building, you know, as it is. But,
Roger, the president.
We worked so much on it that I think that I came all the way around thinking to preserve it, getting discouraged, telling them to go on and just forget about the wall.
I stand there and hold it up, that work?
That was about a couple months ago. Then I felt bad, and I said, well, wait a minute, we'll go back and redo it. You know, it went twice around, you know. And at the end it came to, we have to make a decision, we have to start doing something. And we want to do at least demolition so we are not working with that part in the middle of a busier season here for the downtown.
Roger, right now there are no requirements that we would put on him except for the parking and the lay-down area. In other words, he owns this building. Is there any, He's tried.
No.
But he doesn't have, is there any, I mean, he has the right to do this, does he not?
Yes, he does have the right. Even in the design guidelines that we're looking at, one of the things that we're asking the design guidelines is that when new construction's done, or if they're remodeling, that they remodel back to replicate or to have these design features in. So a lot of it comes down to economics, speed of construction, how construction can be done, you know, trying to work around a wall like this. If it was a back wall that you're trying to save, it'd be a whole lot easier than if it was the front wall.
Just like our building here, I mean, we replaced windows and redid this. I mean, we did a lot of work on the front of our buildings, didn't we?
But right here, we preserved the opening of the jail, and it's been a huge tourist attraction downtown.
Yes.
So.
And that's what, you know, if he could save some of the windows or doors, maybe not even use them in the same fashion that they're being used right now. Susan and I looked at it, and the fact is, you know, like, to have that as the main door that you would enter in, and, you know, Dr. DeBoer is correct. You know, you're opening up an old door that's 100 years old. But if you could use it, maybe it would be a stationary door, or maybe it could be used internally even. Trying to preserve something within the building would be great. But no, to answer your question, there's nothing that we have right now that could prevent him from doing it. We want to be able to work with him, though, as they continue construction, like we do want to work with any contractor who's working in the downtown area. But I wanted you to be aware of what's going on and what has been tried to do to date, so that you would hear from Dr. Slezovich and see where we're progressing. We will, if he continues, look at the fresh market, looking at some parking restrictions, certainly not the 15 minutes, half an hour, but more of the 2 hours in some area by that building.
I'd like to suggest before we making decisions on the parking, we discuss this with the ADDA. As we all know, they've been very instrumental in parking downtown, and I think it, at the very least, we ought to have a discussion with them and get their thoughts.
Is there no space behind the building where you can put materials?
There is no behind the building. That is the restaurant and then Ferrando's area. There's no real behind.
It backs up to what the Italian restaurant?
Backs up.
No, it backs up to the other restaurant, doesn't it? To your restaurant?
Right. Backs up right to the courtyard.
Yeah, there's a courtyard there.
Right.
In the middle there. I'd like to get a better feel for how much it would cost if you were to save the wall. Considering the extra time it would take to build, to complete your building, mm-hmm. given the fact you've got to work around the building, the wall.
Yeah. We have that number, Dr. Duke said.
I think,
And as I said, when I talk to him, I think I get additional information from a contractor, right. You know.
Well, I'd heard $65,000.
Yeah,
early,
that is the
early
letter
discussion.
That I have here.
There was one also issue that Mr. LeDuc noted, because they didn't calculate the cost of the new wall, so they went back and redid that, you know. But then I got immediately called a week later, you know, that there are some other expenses that I would have to renegotiate and things like that, you know. So.
The letter that I received in December said it was going to be $65,000 to try to save the wall. After meeting with him and talking about some things that he might have missed in his calculation, he came back and said that he could save $25,000 at $65,000, which therefore brings me down to $40,000 difference.
$40,000 difference or $40,000 to do the new one?
It'd be $40,000 additional cost to save the wall.
Versus the $65,000.
So I thought that the $25,000 estimate, though, didn't include brick arches and all that stuff that we're asking to be replicated.
Again, I just had the two letters. One said, the original letter said it was going to cost $65,000 in additional work to save the wall. He did not take into account the fact that he had to rebuild the wall. in that cost, which he estimates at $25,000. So the total cost to save the wall was $40,000.
And then a week after that, he talked to you, then he gave me and told that, but there's some architectural cost that we would have. There's some safety issue, you know, and there is a period of time that we would spend at construction that will be prolonged because of that, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was wondering, the total cost of, of saving that wall.
Right now, it's $40,000. Yeah.
Does that include the extra time it would take the contractor to build?
No, that I heard a week later. I don't know. I got the feeling that that was not discussed with Mr. LaDue.
He was uncertain as to how much more additional cost there would be to try to work around that wall. He just knows it'll be more time and more effort.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The thing is, though, I mean, the fact of life is that when you build in a downtown area where with common walls, that all this sort of stuff happens. There's no way for it not to happen.
Right.
But you choose to be downtown for a good business reason, I hope, you know. And but unfortunately, those are going to happen anywhere, and that's why Roger said it is important that we find a place where people a procedure people can follow. I just hate to see you tear this down. I think you're going to be sorry. I don't think that what's there afterwards is going to look as good. I hate that we don't have downtown guidelines to keep this from happening. I mean, it looks, you know, within 6 months we could have saved this 150-year-old. I don't know. It just makes me so sad, and I just wish there were a way it could be done.
Doctor,
I can give you a tour through the building so you can see it first how it looks. You know, I mean, it's a lot of issue when that building was built. There is, in the first place, there is no real foundation. That's all why the area of bricks layered on it like this. There is no cement. There is really nothing for them to work around. Whenever they come with the heavy equipment, I can just tell you that I did one project like that in Pittsburgh, and you can ask my wife how it looked. 40 feet of bricks fell down, and I was in a building, Heidi was in a building, and two workers were in a building with a bulldozer. All the wall collapsed.
When the wall collapsed?
Then the wall collapsed.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of issues, you know, that I have experienced because I did some of the work like that before. This wall can collapse. This wall can kill people at the site. It's not on the footer. It's on the wider patch of bricks, and they have to work around it. So
are you going to up here? Are you going to just tear the wall down? Just push it down? Is that what you're going to do with it?
I don't know how they'll do it. They might take the bricks out, you know, but...
Will you reuse the bricks?
Probably not. This brick is too soft to be used.
So you will just haul the bricks off and from the front wall.
We might want to recycle them, but I don't think we'll use them on the construction. That's correct. Because there is a whole addition wall that we need to build and match, and that becomes again the issue.
What kind of advice have you gotten from the architects about those bricks? I mean, how many of them are going to still be bricks when you take them down? And how do you know?
These bricks, if you want to preserve them, you have to take one brick, one by one brick by hand.
Yeah.
Then you have to clean one brick at a time. The brick is very soft. It's not today's brick. It's not built like that. You know, if you go, I mean, you can almost with the nails scratch that brick. You know, it wasn't meant to last as it is already. You know. So yes, you can, but the wall would have to be dismantled brick at a time to use that brick in the construction, and then we would miss the bricks. We wouldn't have enough bricks.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
would have to one third of wall. We wouldn't have a bricks. We would have.
I wonder if you could use some of those good bricks that you'll get into some type of design. That maybe even something that balances off the front, even if it's a patch of some type, that would be in balance and look nice, and yet and still have the old brick. In other words, at least you'd have something there from the old wall, even if it was a square this big or something, you know, on both sides of the building at certain spots.
There's some part of the wall. I can go back and talk to them, you know, if they don't dismiss me and find someone else to work with.
I mean, maybe at the very least something like that could be done, and you could say these were the original bricks, you know. You'd have something there you could point to.
I can. I don't know what that would mean. Cost, you know. That was an option that we discussed. We had an option if we do something with the wall, that the addition to that wall that would be between the liquor store and the present wall would maybe be from different material, just to kind of be complementary to it. There are a lot of thoughts to that, you know, but I can go back and discuss that with
them. I'm just thinking, you know, we're all searching for some way that we could save the wall, but if you can't save the wall, what can we save? And if you do have some good bricks, who knows? Those bricks might come apart in your hand once you start taking it apart. I don't know. Maybe some of them will.
Yeah, well, if you go over there and if you go on the top, you can take a brick virtually, and if you're a little stronger, you can push it, and it will be...
Right.
I was thinking that perhaps if it would be possible to save some of the bricks, that you could use those bricks in some type of historical marker or monument for the founders of Aiken, if that was something that you could do, save some of the bricks. You could use the bricks on another site. Not necessarily there, but if you can't use it in your building and you're going to tear it down and just cart them off and throw them away, would it be possible that someone else can get those bricks, clean them up, as many as they can save or salvage, and use them in some other form or fashion? That is, if you're not going to use them in the in your construction, would it be possible to get that wall, get those bricks, and use them in some other way, even on another site?
I'm sure that it might be possible, but I really don't know what kind of work. I would have to ask the contractor with that, who has experience with that. I'm not sure. Taking it down and cleaning the brick, you know, and reusing it, would it be something that you can use it inside for some work that doesn't have any weight-bearing characteristics or something?
Well, if the brick can be used for a walkway or something, maybe there's a way to salvage enough and put a walkway across and put a plaque on it saying these are the bricks started from, you know, that might
work. But if you have it,
salvage it. It's one thing using it for a walkway. It's another thing using it for a load-bearing wall. If you can salvage it and the windows and again give us assurance you're going to do everything you can. I, for one, am just glad that this gentleman is here, because we have no, I mean, if he wasn't exploring the fact he's trying to do everything he can, he could do exactly what he wants to do. Now, the parking, he'd have to have our help with it. But I'm not so sure that if a man owns a building downtown from a construction side, that he doesn't have some rights to have a lay-down area to rebuild what he wants. I mean, at least if he goes in and to build back something. I know it's going to happen in other parts of Aiken. I know if other things get built. Right now, it's being done on a condominium project. I believe that's a lay down area. Is it not? It's not. That's not part of that site.
No,
I don't believe.
It's public right of way.
Public right of way. So he has certain rights, and I for one appreciate the fact that you're trying. And I understand the concerns, but if you just give us the best assurance that you can to save the bricks and something else could be used for it, and give it to the city where they could use it and put a plaque on it or something, and try to save the windows at best, and give us a list of exactly what you're trying to do. But I compliment you for trying, and you know.
We tried very hard. I kind of feel like I'm here. Being prosecuted a little bit. I really tried very hard.
I know personally in this town that businesses come and go. Right now, this sounds like a wonderful venture that everybody, I would think, would appear to be excited about. But businesses come and go in this town. And I think it is incumbent upon us that wherever there is heritage and history, that it's incumbent upon us to try to preserve that heritage and history as much as we can. I don't think I'd be doing my job if I didn't do that. And knowing the historic value that this building brings with founders, I think that we should try to preserve as much as we can. But you're saying that that's virtually impossible based on the aging. I'm just pleased that it's lasted more than 150 years. It's still standing. And there's something to be said about a building that's still standing and more than 150 years old. So.
Okay, we need to bring this to a close, and Doctor, thank you. I hope you feel like we, as I said earlier, this is an asset to our city. I feel firmly, and I don't want you to feel like you're being prosecuted or persecuted. I think you're really trying, and it's a tough situation. And if we can ask our staff to get with ADDA and talk about the parking and see what we can come up with to help you.
I'm going one more time to meet with Mike and see if we can do anything as far as the bricks and windows
and
part of the wall and see what he can recommend with that, you know. And if there is anything, I'll try to do it. But I really don't
think that's right. And I think the suggestions about at least saving some of the bricks, and we can do something with that. We don't know what, but we can do something with the bricks that we can save.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Okay, that winds up our work session. Does anyone need to take a quick break? No. Okay. If not, we'll go right into a city council meeting. And let me welcome everyone to our Aiken City Council meeting of February 28th, 2005. And we appreciate everyone being with us this evening. And if you would, please stand with us for our prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
Let us please bow our heads in prayer. Our most gracious and holy Father, we again bow our heads in thanks to you. We thank you, O dear God, for this day. We thank you for life and for health and for strength. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our community. We thank you for our citizens who serve in a very dedicated way. Father, you've blessed us with a wonderful city, with wonderful staff, with wonderful people to serve. And you've blessed this council with wonderful servants to serve the people. We ask, dear Father, as we discuss this agenda, that you go with our thoughts and our hearts and our minds, guide us in every way. Whatever we do will be to your glory, and it will be to benefit this city. We will always be mindful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
I have one deletion that I'd like to make on the agenda, and that's under the petitions and requests to withdraw the renaming of Tule Hill for this time to rediscuss it with the property owners.
Okay. Anything else? If not, do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay. Any other comments? If not, all in favor of the agenda as written? Approved unanimously. First item of business is the minutes. The consideration of the minutes of the work session of February 10th, 2005, and the work session regular meeting of February 14th, 2005, and the work session of February 23rd, 2005. Do we have a motion or a second? And a second.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item is the appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have three appointments before you tonight by three different council members. Councilmember Cunning would like to appoint Henry Krippner to fill the unexpired term of Kenny Weiland. Councilmember Smith would like to recommend the appointment of Jerome Schlissler to replace Richard Alouette on the Tax Accommodation Committee. Councilmember Sprawls would like to reappoint Sam Erb to the same Accommodation Tax Committee. Those are the three appointments before you tonight.
Okay. Do we have a motion? Second on those?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay. And a second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. While we're on this item, I've got one nomination, and it's Mark Hudgens for the Environmental Committee. You have a form that he gave us, qualifications. I think he would be a definite asset to our Environmental Committee.
Mr. Mayor, just one question, Roger. I think you'd answer this one with a clarification. We try on our commissions to the people would be in the city of Aiken unless it's an unusual situation of some sort. Is that a clarification?
On all committees, the first requirement is they're in the city unless there's a particular reason. Maybe they own a business inside the city or own property inside the city, or it might be a case where at the airport there's a special skill that they have that would pertain to that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, item two under old business is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance authorizing the use of lots on Aiken Golf Club. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by title. It's an ordinance authorizing the owner of a restricted, non-buildable lot formerly part of the Highland Park Country Club, now known as the Aiken Golf Club, to remove the restrictions against building on it. Back in January, we reviewed a piece of property that had a restriction on it that said it could not be built upon. Jim McNair is working out an agreement with the Reardons and has come before City Council asking that that property that had that restriction of stating that it was not buildable, that the council would allow that lot, once it was 15,000 square feet, to have a house built on that. This is the last remaining of those lots that has not been built on, the city gave up. It is his intent, as he stated at the last meeting, to come back on an additional lot that we're reviewing right now, that is in a different area that council has not reviewed in the past. That will be taken up at a later date. But before you tonight, he's asking approval in this ordinance to have this restriction removed and that this lot would be built on, and this is the second reading public hearing consideration concerning this non-buildable lot at the Highland Park Golf Course or the Aiken Golf Course, Aiken Golf Club right now.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading in public hearing, so if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the item that's adopted on the second reading, that it become effective immediately.
Okay.
I second.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? It passes unanimously. Item three is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to form an arts commission. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending section 2-142 of the Aiken City Code to establish the arts commission and approving its proposed bylaws. One of the goals of City Council was to form up an arts commission or committee that would have more say-so on the calendar, websites, what we should be doing with tourism, and how better we could have the various groups that are within the city working together to serve one another. Council felt, after hearing a recommendation from a ad hoc committee to form an arts commission that would be made up of individuals selected by city council, we have within the bylaws a listing of the various areas that they should represent, along with some definitions of what that individual would pertain to. And at the last meeting, you were each given particular areas that you would select from and form up this initial committee. One commission member would be from the visual arts. That would be someone who produces artwork such as handcrafted, wrought iron, pottery, paintings, photographs, prints, carvings, woven textiles, sculptures, something that appeals primarily to the sense of sight and typically exists in a permanent form. That would be one individual. Another individual would be a performing arts artist, someone engaged in arts such as dance, ballet, drama, spoken word, or musical renditions containing feats or roles acted out before a live audience. One representative would be from an arts organization, one representative from education, one representing the business community, and two at large. Those would be the representatives. We have listed in here a number of functions that we feel they would be reviewing and looking at as they meet. They'd be meeting on a monthly basis. With one of the prime objectives would be to have each of the various arts organizations come before them and tell what's happening within their organization and how best that they could be served by the city and others within the community. So before you tonight, this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance establishing the Arts Commission for the City of Aiken.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I have moved that we approve this ordinance to form an arts commission.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously.
Now that the commission has been formed, I know some of you at the last meeting had said who you thought you might want to select. Mr. Mayor, would this be appropriate time for those members of council to make that statement?
I see no reason not to.
I'd be very happy to mention the fact that Kay Taylor is here right now, and she could be representative of dance, of photograph, of painting. She can do any of those things and more.
So which area, though, do you have to select?
Whichever one we need to fill with all of you guys. Your choice.
Do you have an at-large, or what was your selection? Were you at-large?
No, it was, in fact, the visual arts.
Okay, so you're from the visual arts.
But just in case.
Mr. Mayor, my nominee's here also, Ms. Mary Ellen Krippner. I have her nomination form ready to go.
And okay. Would that be the performing arts?
I don't know. We switched, but let's see something, didn't we?
No, you said you wanted to stay where we are.
Okay. Is that okay?
So which one were you representing?
I know we talked about
it. Because we said we could cross the line anyway. It didn't matter. So.
It's more logical that it's performing arts, but I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's what he said. It didn't matter.
Okay.
So
that's Mary Ellen.
Okay. Any others at this point in time?
No, I have one picked out, but I need to talk to her and see if she will do it.
So. Yeah. Okay.
I believe I said I could get someone from the education arena.
Okay.
And I have a nominee in mind, but I don't have a form filled out.
Okay.
I have not spoken with my nominee as well, but I have someone in mind.
Okay.
If you would give them to Sarah, myself, I know that some of you are interested in hearing who others may pick, so that might help them decide who they're going to pick. So once you have that, that'd be helpful. But we'll go ahead and make sure these two are on. And if several of you have some other ones, we can include those. Do you mind, Mr. Mayor, if we include those in the package for next time?
Oh, heavens no.
Instead of waiting until next time and then waiting again?
As soon as we get them, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
We would like to get started with this committee as soon as possible. And if we get everybody chosen, then probably end of March, first part of April, we'll get that committee started then.
Okay, very good. We thank the two ladies that are here that have accepted their nomination. Appreciate it very much. Okay, item four, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to establish an interfund loan agreement for meter reading devices. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to lend up to $1,056,967.70 to provide financing to fund the acquisition of Badger Meter Orion project. This is an interfund loan. We have done this in the past. In fact, the meters cost well over $1.5 million, but we've been able to pay some of that off through existing accounts. This is the remaining amount that we, up to what we may need to borrow from ourselves to pay it off. We have found out already in the last 6 months we're meeting the revenue projections that we hope to have with the new project, so we're very happy with the results. Before you tonight, then, is the second reading and public hearing consideration of an ordinance to approve an interfund loan agreement for replacement of the reading devices for our water meters.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this on second reading and that it become effective immediately.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay. Any discussion?
Just wanted to say that we discussed this in Orion and received detailed information regarding this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Done.
Right. If no other comments.
I'd just like to make one comment. I want to just really thank Anita and Larry. They have both just done a tremendous job with this project and moving this forward. And if it wasn't for their staff and the hard work they put in. Also, many of you know Dick Lamar. We hired Dick Lamar. He came out of retirement, worked 40-hour weeks, and took this project under his wing and just did a tremendous job in helping us. And it just shows the great talent that we have in many individuals who have retired and then took on another job, another assignment to help the city. And he did a tremendous job along with Anita and Larry. And thank you both.
Very good. Thank you. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Under new business, the first item is the first reading of an ordinance to approve the sale of property in Ventures Industrial Park. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to transfer all of its rights, titles, and interests in its spec building located in Ventures Industrial Park to Company X. Obviously, the name of the company is not Company X, but we are happy to say that we do have a projected company to buy that building for $890,000. The company would be closing on the building sometime in mid-April, and we have met with them and feel it's a really good fit for that area and would be a great addition to our park. Through the funding that we receive from this, would help us to pay off the loan that we currently have with Sardi. It's about a $300,000 loan with them right now. And then the remaining funds would be used to pay off our loan that we had for the overlay and the secondary runway, the work that we did on the primary runway when we lengthened it, and then we overlaid it. And we hope to use the remaining funds to finish off the ILS in the very near future. So we're very excited about this, and we are happy to recommend under first reading to sell the property at the Ventures Industrial Park. And upon your consideration, the second reading public hearing would be held at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Very good. Discussion?
Do we make money on this? I mean,
yes,
considering what we paid for the building?
Aiken Electric Cooperative was very generous in the last several years in helping us by giving us some grant money to help build this building. But when we get all said and done, we'll have enough money to pay off all of our debts that are out there for the building itself, have money left over to do these other projects, and then still have some money left over, hopefully, that we might entertain looking at another spec building out at that park again. So it's been a great partnership with many individuals, but primary I see Bill Immon back there with Aiken Electric and all the endeavors and help that they have given us, not only towards this building, but the entire park.
Roger, I was just going to mention, don't spend all the money yet because there's a nice site out there, a nice building we'd work on. So with the layoffs coming, we need to keep doing what we're doing there. And that building has been shown a lot, and other things have happened because of people looking at that building.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Roger, you wouldn't happen to note the combination of funding amounts that each of these partners gave co-op and Sardi?
$400,000, Bill, from you, or $500?
It was $480,000.
Hmm. And some odd pennies. So it's almost a close to $500,000 from Aiken Electric Co-op.
Sardi was in the 250 range, wasn't it?
They gave us, well, that was a loan, and that was $270,000 from Sardi. And then we put the rest of the money together ourselves, including the land. And Larry's crews did some detention work out there early on that we're providing towards this project and grading. Mm-hmm. So, Bill Huggins was the one that was directly involved in working with the contractor, Fitz and Goodwin, and getting the project built, including the great color design out there.
That's right. Okay. All right. Any other comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously.
I was looking for Keith Coons in the audience so you could hear this.
Well, he was out. He was out there,
but he wanted to leave real quickly during this part.
Keith gave money for the other building, so
I'm only messing with Keith.
Item 2 is the first reading of an ordinance dedicating utilities and roads in Parkway South subdivision. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance accepting the dedication of roads, water utilities, sanitary sewer utilities, stormwater utilities, and related equipment in the Parkway South subdivision. This is probably one of the more unusual situations that I've been involved in the 20 years with the city. Typically, when we have a deed of dedication, they actually are deeding the land, the property, along with the infrastructure that's there. Because of the way that Parkway South was originally laid out, the property lines go to the center of the road, where typically your property line would go to the edge of the right-of-way. Each property encapsulates maybe 50 feet of water line and sewer line and storm drainage and roads. Every other place in the city, after a development has been completed, we have been willing to accept the roads and the water and the sewer. But because of where the property lines are located in this particular subdivision, we are not able to do so. We went back to individuals that were working on this, asked them to get signatures of all the property owners, and every property owner is more than willing to do so, but not every property owner owns their property because they have a loan from the banks. The local lenders were more than satisfied to go ahead and sign those agreements, but because of the internet and where some of the loans originate in other parts of the country now, not every banking institute or mortgage institute was as agreeable as our local lenders. So we were able to get the majority of the signatures on this. And because we are not able to get a deed of dedication in its pure form, we have put together a maintenance agreement that agrees that if any maintenance is needed on that road or water or sewer line, they are giving us the rights or the ability to get in there and do the maintenance. And over a period of time, and we feel probably within the next 5 years, as property sells and people pay off their mortgages, that we'll get the remaining signatures necessary to get the true and proper deed of dedication for this infrastructure at this location. So before you tonight is a maintenance agreement spelling out the fact that the deed of dedication will come at a later time. Gary Smith has been working on this, feels satisfied with what we have here. Richard Pierce was involved. Phil Wohlhauser is here tonight. And this has been going on for at least 2 years, at least. And so tonight we're happy that we could bring it to a conclusion that we're all satisfied with. And so this before you tonight is a first reading consideration of an ordinance accepting the maintenance of the roads, water, sewer, and storm drainage in the Parkway South subdivision. And upon your consideration, second reading public hearing will be held at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I have one little question. Does this have any bearing on how our insurance would be on that particular property, since we're doing a maintenance contract instead of owning the property outright?
Insurance? Now, when you say insurance,
For anything that could happen on that road that maybe was hadn't been prepared, repaired properly or something, an accident.
Okay, we have just recently replaced the water line, was it, Larry? Or just the service lines?
The service lines got
bigger. They had to all be replaced because they were failing. And again, it's one of those situations. For the last 20 years, we haven't left them. We've been doing the maintenance because, again, they're not an association that could go out and hire a contractor. So we've been doing everything that the maintenance agreement basically is saying. We just feel that we need to formalize it so that we do get that deed of dedication, and it gives us more of a legal right to be there. So as far as insurance is concerned, it's probably a very good question, but the fact of the matter is, maybe through prescription, I don't know if that's the right word, we've been doing it anyways for a number of years.
Well, if it was deeded to us, anything happened to it, we'd be responsible anyway. So
correct.
Actually, this gives us an insulation from it because we've got a liability. That's what I'm saying. So if it was all deeded to it, we'd have 100% of the liability. Right?
And this maintenance agreement, I feel, gives us a little more surety as to having the ability. Larry comes to me with these things all the time saying, what should we do? And we do the right thing, which is serving the citizens, but we want to be on a more firmer footing in doing this.
Well, in reality, this helps our citizens because there's no way around it. If you can't get it all released, you can't. So this is the only way we can do it.
Stratford Hall was a very similar situation where the contractor, the developer out there, went bankrupt, therefore never did deed us the water, sewer, roads, and for over 10 years we had the same situation. And we were going out there repairing it, but they really weren't ours until the Homeowners Association banded together and they gave us a legal right to it. This was just a little bit different and a little bit more unusual.
Okay. Do we have a motion and second?
I'll move it, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously.
We'll have the second reading at the next meeting, and then it'll become official.
Item 4 is a first reading of an ordinance designating a rye patch to the Aiken Historic Register. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We'll do these. We have two of these, and we're going to do them separately, but I'll talk about the first one, which will be really talking about both of them at the same time. It's an ordinance designating certain buildings and the brick wall at Hopeland Gardens, the Aiken Historic Register, as a historic site. We're asking council tonight to designate as a landmark both Hopeland Gardens and the Rye Patch and the significant buildings and structures that are at each of these locations. We felt that we needed to set an example to the rest of the community how important some of these historic properties are to our community. What this will mean by us designating them as a landmark is before we would make any changes to those buildings, especially from the outside, that we would, as any other individual in a historic district or having a landmark would do, is go before the Historic Preservation Commission to review the plans and to seek their approval to make any changes. And not that we're intending to make any changes, but these are probably the most significant properties that are remnants of what a winter colony was for others to see for decades to come. In discussing this with Susan and then her working hard and putting together the application, and by the way, remember at the last meeting we had for Old Aiken Master Plan, we said what kind of work is involved doing a landmark. Well, you can see all this paperwork that's here, which takes a lot of time. And again, we get some volunteer help, but landmark designations take a lot of effort. Historic districts don't take near the effort that's involved. So if we don't do historic districts, landmarks are an excellent way to go to preserve property and to make sure it'll be there for centuries and decades to come. The Planning Commission, Historic Preservation Commission, enthusiastically and unanimously supported both these applications. And so before you tonight, on first reading, is an ordinance to designate Hopeland's Garden to the Aiken Historic Register. And upon your consideration, a second reading and public hearing would be held at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion? Second. Okay.
Second.
All right. Any discussion?
Is it Hopeland's Garden? Is that it?
Yes, with an S.
The first one has an S and the second one does not. Is that right?
Yep. First one has an S. Garden
has an S too. At least that's the way it's written here.
Two S's.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's in the deed that we got from Mrs. Islin.
Gardens.
I had to read that several times because people kept saying it doesn't have an S. I said, let me check one more time.
I never know, so I'm glad.
So the deed does have Hope Lens, even though that's not the way you normally put it.
Okay, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. And the next one is first reading of an ordinance to designate Rye Patch. I think I said Rye Patch the first time, but obviously that was Hopeland.
I might have the wrong order, so that...
So this is Rye Patch to the Aiken Historic Register.
Okay. An ordinance designating certain buildings in the brick wall, Rye Patch, the Aiken Historic Register. As I said before, this is a very important piece. And for your consideration tonight is designating Rye Patch, the Aiken Historic District. And upon your consideration, second reading and public hearing will be held at the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion second for this?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under petitions, item one is a request for approval of appointment of the ministerial recorder. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. Last fall, you approved hiring a ministerial recorder. It was in the budget. We needed to get your approval because we had to set up this position. Although within the ordinance, you gave us the ability to interview and to hire it. The individual, you need to, as a council, appoint this individual as the ministerial recorder. Crystal has been attending classes concerning this. Once she receives her education, she will be able to set and accept bonds, reconnaissance, summons, subpoenas, arrest warrants, search warrants. It allows us to get things done in a much more timely manner without having to go to the county magistrate. Crystal is here tonight, standing up there. She worked for quite some time with Representative Huff, attorney out of North Augusta, and so has a lot of background in working with legal matters. Did you just complete the courses? I think you just finished? March 21st, okay. Okay, great. So what we're asking tonight, Council, is to approve a resolution appointing her as the Aiken Municipal Court Ministerial Recorder.
Okay. Do we have a motion? Second.
I'll move, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay, very good. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Welcome to the city, Crystal. Glad to have you. Okay, skip down to item three since we deleted the item two. Election schedule for city council for 2005. Mr. LeDuc, please.
This is not an item for voting on or anything. It's for information, but I wanted to go over it so that you fully understood, and if there's any questions, I could answer them tonight. This is an election year for council. We have four positions that are up for election, our two at-large positions, and We have Dick Smith's district and Leslie Price's district that are also up for election. This gives you the dates for the candidates for filing, the closing of the primary, and when the primary schedule and any runoffs that would be necessary, and then the election itself. Again, it's for your information. If you have any questions, Sarah and I would we'd be happy to try to answer your questions. If not, I would like to entertain and ask Council to consider going into an executive session concerning a legal matter, actually a couple of legal matters before you, that Gary Smith, our attorney, would like to discuss.
Do we want the naming? Did you have the naming?
That we've asked to be tabled for this time.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, do we have a motion and a second to go into executive session? Okay, all right. All in favor? Show of hands? Okay. Leslie?
Yes.
Okay, passes unanimous. Okay.
Colleen. Well, I guess.